Well, thank you so much for always welcoming me here and making me feel at home. Today, my internal clock is 10 minutes behind, and I just made it in time. And so driving here, I thought, well, I hope there's a long praise and worship time, so if I am late, I'm helped out there. But this evening, I would like to turn us to Matthew's Gospel. And if you open your Bibles at Matthew chapter 7. And this passage really deals with the very things that we as Christians are often accused of, especially in inviting someone to church for the first time. Typically, what are the excuses? Well, I don't go to church because the church people are often judgmental, or they are unloving, and they often say, well, the church is full of hypocrites, right? And then what do you say? You say, well, we can always do with one more hypocrite, right? But nevertheless, let's open our Bibles here at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and I'll read there for us. Verse 1, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before the swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Let us ask, Lord, that you will help me here, guide me through the scriptures, and help me to speak clearly and to speak truthfully and accurately in accordance to your word. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. When people are judgmental, the question should be, why are we so judgmental? And Joel Spurgeon has a valuable thing to say about this. He says the problem is with self-examination. He says self-examination is not as simple as it might appear. He says no Christian who has really practiced it has found it easy. If there is any exercise of the soul as unsatisfactory and almost impossible, it is self-examination. Why is it so hard? He says the heart is so exceedingly complicated and intricate. Though the heart is so very near to the eye, which has to investigate it, both the heart and the eye are restless and so shifting that its deep anatomy baffles our research. So what is Spurgeon saying here? In his very own way, he's saying we have a hard time plumbing the depths of our own hearts. Our hearts are often very intricate and very complicated things, and it's hard to examine really what goes on there. But thirdly, he says, we have this tendency to shift the eye away from our own hearts, and we tend to shift it elsewhere. And this is where judgmentalism comes in. We are good at examining everything but our own hearts. This evening, I'm going to talk about the hypocrite. And for one moment, we should say, maybe I'm not a hypocrite, but certainly we all are guilty at some point of the sin of hypocrisy, right? We're all guilty of the sin of hypocrisy. And so often, as we think about the hypocrite, the hypocrite is very judgmental, and they often very confident in examining the thoughts, the motives, and the intents of someone else's hearts, while they are poor judges of their own hearts. I think a second thing that we will learn here tonight is that judgmental people will often offer themselves as experts in helping to exercise sin in people's lives. They are good at removing the speck or the splinter in someone's eye, and they always seem to be helpful with that. Thirdly, the hypocrite will tend to minimize his own faults and his own sins, while on the other end, he tends to exaggerate the sins and faults of other people. And so those are the three things we will look at. But the very fact that Jesus says there in verse 1, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged," should be a caution. We should be cautious before we examine anyone else, unless we have examined ourselves first. Now, when people read verse 1, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged," they often think, okay, I can't say nothing to another person. I can't point out something in their lives that is not glorifying God. However, the purpose of this teaching, the intent of what Jesus is trying to teach us here, is not about to judge or to not judge. It is about unloving and unrighteous judging or hypocritical judging. You see, if we judge in the way that Jesus describes here, we are not busy with righteous and helpful judging, but we are being judgmental and maybe hypocritical at the same time. And so here I'm going to point out to you tonight the three habits that we have to be cautious of, or else we will be just judging hypocrites. And so we need to be on our guard, and probably the best thing to guard against hypocritical judging is love. And I'm going to bring in love into the picture here tonight. But number one, the first habit of the hypocrite is to examine others but seldom examine self. The hypocrite is good at examining others but slow to examine himself. It says there in verse 3, "Why do you look at the speck?" Why do you look? Why are we going there? Why are we looking at the speck in your brother's eyes? But at the same time, you do not notice the what? The log that is in your own eye. Of course, as Christians, we are to take care of each other. We are to examine our brothers and sisters in Christ to not find speck-like faults in their lives, but certainly to help them when they are blunted to sins in their own lives. But often we are so preoccupied with the little issues in people's lives, we are so bothered about the faults and the issues and the sins in their lives, that we fail to practice self-examination. And before long, we do not notice that there's a very big log in our own eyes. If we are in a place in our lives that we are more bothered about the issues and the sins and the transgressions in someone else's life, and we are not are at peace with our own sins and issues in our lives, I think we are walking on a razor's edge. And that razor's edge is basically, on the one side, being hypocritical and being judgmental. Self-righteous judging is often a telltale sign that someone does not spend time examining themselves. Where there's a lack of self-examination, there's often much criticism, much condescension, much irritation, much judgmentalism. And so we need to not fail at this discipline of self-examination. And I'll explain to you how self-examination is really the safeguard against unrighteous judging. A second observation here is that the hypocrite tends to examine others only to minimize what they see in their own lives and exaggerate what they see in others. How often are we greatly bothered by what we see in someone else? Often we walk up to somebody and say, I'm going to jump on this guy because he keeps on doing this thing and it's sinful and I'm so irritated. And yet, when we look at ourselves for a moment, we will see we often do the very same actions. Often, I come to my wife and I say, did you notice so-and-so did that again? You notice that again? He keeps on doing that. And then my wife said, yeah, you do it just 10 times more often. You see, we look at ourselves like those carnival mirrors. Have you been in those carnival mirrors? Okay. And which one do we like standing at? The one that makes us look skinny, right? Yeah, I like the one that kind of broadens my shoulders and so on. You see, that's how we look at ourselves. So this is what verse 3 says. He says, you notice that speck. You're very bothered with that speck, and yet you don't notice what? A log. You don't notice the log, the mote, the beam that is in your very own eye. You see, we are very good at taking a log in our own eye and we shrink it down to a splinter. Or we take in our self-righteousness, we take a mountain of sin and we quickly reduce it to a molehill. We're good at minimizing our own and maximizing the issues in somebody else's life. What Jesus is calling here for is an honest self-assessment. We got to confront ourselves before we confront someone else, or else we'll be casting that first stone. You see, if we do not confront ourselves first, before we confront someone else on their sins, we will claim that we are without guilt, but then we are full of guile. We are in no position to correct or confront a brother and sister in Christ if we think we are completely innocent. And how often do we find it that the people of God would go and say, okay, I'm going to confront that person about this and that thing he did, and yet they can never see anything wrong in their own lives. That is judgmentalism. No wonder Jesus says here in verses 1 and 2 that we've got to be cautious when we get on this bandwagon of judging someone else, because the very likelihood, if we are bothered with something like a splinter in somebody else's eye, it might be very well the case that there is a plank in our own eye. Now, once again, I want to reiterate what Jesus is saying here is often people say, well, I can't go to this and this brother or this and this sister and speak to them about this or that sin I see is becoming a habit in their lives. And people would often say, well, I can't do that because I'm not sinless. I'm not perfect. And this is not what the passage is saying. The passage is not saying that you have to be sinless before you can confront a brother or sister in Christ. All it is saying is you have to beware of the fact that you are not sinless. If you and I are going to wait until we are sinless before we address somebody's sin, look, then nothing will ever get dealt with. However, we cannot notice a speck in someone's eye unless we deny the log in our very own eyes. If that's the case, we will not be judging in a righteous way, but in a corrupt way, and maybe even a hypocritical way. Job chapter 13, Job says, how many are my iniquities and sins? Question mark. Make known to me my rebellion and my sin. And there is very clear that Job is examining himself first. He is not bothered by his friends there that are full of sin and transgression, but he's asking, I need to understand how sinful I am. You see, hypocrites don't always want to see their own sin. But Jesus warns here that if we are poor at assessing ourselves and we shrink down our sins, logs down to splinters, we will be hypocritical judges. If we find ourselves, dear brothers and sisters, that as time passes, that we become more and more bothersome with the people who fellowship with us in a church, often that's the case. People get so edgy with each other, and then all of a sudden, every little thing starts bothering them. We have to ask, when was the last time that you spent time alone and have the Lord examine your heart? When was the last time that you walked maybe across to a friend and say, I want you to tell me, are there any things in my life that you think are bothersome and maybe a hurdle to the gospel? We may ask, why are people often so slow to give grace and slow to be merciful and slow to be loving, yet they are so quick to want to judge somebody? Well, it's basically a matter of the heart. It is about not understanding that my actions and my behaviors require grace and mercy and love. When Jesus asks here, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye? The question is formulated in such a way that we must wonder why we don't see that we have a log in our own eye. Why can't I notice the log in my own eye? The answer is simple. If we are constantly searching and prying and probing others, when is there time to scrutinize our own lives and our own hearts? You see, we have this tendency often to take our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we put their lives under a microscope. Now, if you have ever seen those pictures of a little flea or a dust mite, and you put them under a microscope, soon they look like creatures from Jurassic Park, right? They're awful. And yet they are tiny, minute little creatures. But you see, when it comes to our own lives, we don't take our own lives and we look at it under a microscope. We take a binoculars. And you know what we do is we take the binoculars and we flip them around. And we go, oh, those sins are way down there. They're so small, you know. And that is what we do. That is what we do. And we got to be careful, dear brothers and sisters. The very fact, when Jesus says, if you have spotted that sin, that little speck in your brother's eyes, and it starts irking you, there's a telltale sign. There is a log. There's a log. Here's a third observation about the hypocritical way of judging. You see, the hypocrite is a very helpful fellow. They are very prideful and self-confident creatures. Not only are they good examining others, they are good at offering themselves as experts to help someone in their sins. Excuse me. Jesus asks there, he says, do you not notice the log that is in your own eye? Yet, you say, let me help you. Verse 4. Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye? You see, the hypocrite is always very helpful. Let me take that little speck. Let me help you with that sin. Let me point out that sin, but I'm not only going to point that sin out, I'm going to help you through this. You see, the hypocrite, unfortunately, though he's being very helpful, it seems, he does it without having the right perspective of the many issues and transgressions in his own life. And so here is the observation about the hypocrite. He seems to have this natural ability to point out sin, but he sees themselves as a gifted creature who can help deal with sin in a very expedient way, while very unwilling to deal with the splinters in his own eyes, though it's become now the size of a giant sequoia tree. He offers himself as the ideal helper. If we are ready to point out somebody who has sin, and we point out there is sin in their lives, we must be willing to go that extra step to help them. But often, we do it in such a haphazard way. We do it in an unloving and critical and even a blind way. We try to help people. Anybody who has raised kids will often know the hypocrisy that is hidden in even children. They even are very good at noticing issues in their siblings' lives, and yet they themselves have these logs in their own eyes. We once were at a church in the where the pastor preached about the attributes of God, and he said we are not to use this word awesome for mundane things. We shouldn't use the word awesome hey, dude, that's an awesome car or something. We reserve that for God, okay? And so it came that one of the kids, I was a school principal back then, and one of the kids that was in that sermon came into my class, into my office and said, I got to speak to you, Mr. Principal. I said, what's the problem? He says to me, the teacher used the A word. I go, whoa, this is terrible. I thought this is a Christian school. That's pretty strong language. And so I go to the teacher and I investigate what this vernacular is all about. And so it turns out the teacher used the word awesome in the classroom. The teacher looked over and saw this kid draw a stick figure sketch and said to the child, that's an awesome drawing, right? And so this little kid was actually jealous that the teacher was saying, the other kid's drawing is awesome and not this one. And so while this kid was trying to be helpful and show the speck in the teacher's eye, that child's heart was filled with envy and jealousy. And so it is with the hypocrite who offers themselves as surgeons, eye surgeons, that will help excise a little speck. So those little specks become so bothersome that they have to deal with them right now. But you see, they don't come with micro surgical instruments. They come with a chainsaw, right? They have to always feel like they have to eradicate this sin in somebody's life. They're so confident in confronting others, and yet they fail to acknowledge their need for gospel, for grace, for mercy, and love, because they are, after all, sinners. This is what Jesus says. Verse 5, you hypocrite, first take the log out. He's not saying that we shouldn't go help somebody who is in sin, but we should first take this log out. And what is this log that Jesus is speaking about here? This is not talking about becoming sinless and perfect, but it's rather acknowledgement of our own inability, our own inadequacy, and our insufficiency in life without the gospel and grace of Jesus Christ. I think when Jesus says, "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye," he means we need to come to grips with the fact that we are sinners and that we are in need of a gospel and that we need to preach the gospel to ourselves first. Coming to grips with our need for grace and our understanding that we are sinners saved by the grace of God is to take the log out of our own eye. You see, once we understand that, we will have the gentleness. Well, firstly, we will have the right perspective. We will have the right understanding to clearly help take out the speck out of a brother's eye. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we are forgiven of our sin. And we must remember that the very speck that we will remove out of someone's eye is a sin that is forgiven. Does that make sense? If we go help somebody take that speck out of his or her eye, we must remember that there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ. The one who regularly practices self-examination will understand their need for gospel, their need for grace. Their practice of forgiveness and repentance will be seen. But if someone thinks himself or herself to be holier than thou, then in fact, holier than thou, then in fact, they will be a bull in a china shop. They will come to the operating room not with the tools of a surgeon, but come to the operating room with the tools of a lumberjack. And so, dear brothers and sisters, let me turn you just for a minute here to Galatians 6. Galatians 6 is a monumental passage in dealing with someone else's trespasses. I will read there from verse 1 to verse 4. He says there, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in what? A spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself." You see, there it is. You go help someone if they're in sin, but you better make sure you have practiced self-examination. There is a clear call for self-examination. Why? So that you will not be tempted. And I think there it's referring to being tempted to think that you or I am someone special when we are not. And then verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Love one another. Verse 3, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing," it says there, when he is nothing, let me just make sure I'm here at the right place. "But if each one must examine himself," "if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to one another. For each one will bear his own load." Each one must examine himself once again. Here again, self-examination cultures, humility and gentleness and love. And there is no reason for boasting then. This is what Matthew Henry says. He says, the better we know our own hearts and ways, the less shall we despise others, and the more we will be disposed to help them under infirmities and afflictions. Why are we impatient with someone? Why are we graceless? Why are we irritated? Why do we go, oh, do I have to deal with this sin once again? It is because we don't know ourselves for who we are. But if we know ourselves for who we are, we will be less likely to despise another person and we will be more apt to help them when the infirmities of sins and the afflictions of the transgressions gets hold of them. Dear brothers and sisters, we are to practice what Galatians 6:1 says. If anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore. We have to intervene if there's a sin that is obvious and the person is unrepentant. But we often forget to read verse 2. What does verse 2 say? Bear one another's burden. You see, often we want to be the surgeon that takes out the splinter and then we off. But what this is calling for is that we are not only the surgeon that takes out the splinter, we are the nurse in the recovery room, and we are the nurse that binds the wounds. We have to go all the way. The hypocrite gets irritated. The hypocrite gets impatient. The hypocrite tends to write the person off and say, well, this is not happening fast enough. But it's important here to focus on what Jesus is telling us here, that we are to fulfill the law of Christ. If we bear one another's burdens, we are fulfilling the law of Christ. That means we are loving one another. If we love, truly love, we will be less prone to be judges of the law, but we will rather be doers of the law. The Proverbs says that love covers a multitude of sins. Now, what does that mean? When the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin, it does not say that we should ignore sin or that we whitewash it. But it is all too clear that we can alleviate the bothersomeness and the irksomeness of a person's sin if we shower that person with love. If we truly love somebody, we will bear their burdens and we will be a little more patient with them. And that is what 1 Peter 4:8 says. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. You see, where there is a lack of love, there will be little covering of sin. In fact, what will happen is sin will be always be on grand display. So let me give you three pointers here. Take home. To judge in the right way is to judge sin in the proper way. But we need to know ourselves, that who we really are sinners saved by the grace of God. To judge in the right way is knowing the state of our own hearts. What is the state of our own hearts? The heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Right? And that's what we got to understand, is before we get all judgmental, we need to understand our hearts is so deep and it gets so dark in there. It's often a bottomless pit. Who are we to say that I know what's going on in your heart? We got to be careful. We got to be careful. If we think we know and we've got everyone's heart figured out, we will certainly be judgmental. Thirdly, to judge in the right way is to shower the person with love. To shower a person with love will mean that we will be able to do that necessary eye surgery to remove the splinter, but it will be done not out of irritation or agitation, because that will be harmful and hurtful to them. If we love a person, our intervention with their sin will be helpful to them. We will be able to, as Galatians 6 says here, restore them with Christ. Now let me wrap it up here. Let's go back to Matthew 7. He says there, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." And then verse 5. First, take the log out of your own eye. You see, and what is the warning here? The warning is that by the point that we are irritated or bothered, or we find someone's issues irksome and irritating, there is already a giant log in our very own eye. And what is that log? An uncharitable, loveless disposition. We often forget. By the time that we say, "Okay, this has to stop," we got to wonder if we have not a graceless and a loveless heart. And that very well may be the log for most of us, dear brothers and sisters. You see, if we are loveless in our judging, Jesus says, expect that you will be judged yourself in a loveless way, because in the standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Dear brothers and sisters, regular self-examination begins with log spotting. You see, often we look for a splinter, and we can't find any splinter in our own eye. It's because you have to look for a log. And I think the greatest log that we are so blind to is a loveless, uncharitable heart. And the fact is, we often overlook it. We are quickly to act upon this or that sin, and we must. But it will become very obvious to the offender and maybe the offended that there is a real absence of love. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, remember the words of James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 8 says, "If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law," what is the royal law? Here it is. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And if you are loving your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But you see, we are stopped. We stop doing well is when we use the law to judge someone. And we forget that we have to, firstly, love them. James 2:12 says, "So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty." Meaning that God looks at us, and the first thing He is looking for is love. Are we truly loving our neighbor, our brothers and sisters in Christ? For He warns there in James 2:13, "For judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. If we don't love, we will soon have this unloving, loving log that is in our own eye. And often for people who are very judgmental, that log has been there for a very, very long time. It's more of a petrified log, calcified in their eyeball. And that is a topic for a next sermon, by the way. But if there's no love, we have to know that our judgment of another person will be merciless. And Jesus says, if you are going to be merciless, I will be merciless towards you. And so as we close out this study about judging, I want you to remember this. The question is not to judge or not to judge. The question is, with what attitude do I judge? Have I kept my motivations, my attitudes, and my disposition in check? Am I very aware of the fact that I am an offender and I daily offend God? The issue really is about the way we judge. If we judge in a hypocritical way, we will be prideful, arrogant, and judgmental. We will be quick to spot any violation or any transgression of God's law. And yet, at the very same token, we break one of the greatest of God's laws, which is love your neighbor as yourself. If we judge in a Christ-like way, in a Christian way, we will look at our brothers and sisters with great compassion and mercy, and we will come alongside them and shower them with love. We will remind ourselves that there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ, and that very splinter that we are going to remove has already been forgiven by the blood of Christ. I think if we have this mindset in ourselves that God told Israel to have, Micah 6:8 says, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Let me read that to you. What does God want us to do? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. We cannot love justice if we love ourselves more. We cannot love kindness if we judgmental. And we certainly cannot walk humbly before God if we don't understand who we truly are. And who are we? We are sinners saved by the grace of God. Let us ask God to help us to not only walk humbly, but to walk in love and walk introspectively. I pray, God, that we will not see ourselves as people who have merited our righteousness, but that our righteousness is credited to us based on the work of your Son on the cross. And so, Lord, as we deal on a day-to-day, a week-by-week basis with sin in someone else's life, and that sin may even offend us, help us, Lord, to cover the sinner with love. And if we do happen to help them, take out that speck in their eye, Lord, may we be very so cautious that we don't have the log of unlovingness, uncharitableness, pride, arrogance, all those things, Lord, become a log that makes us blind and insensitive to people. So I pray for the grace and the mercy that you give us on a daily basis, that we will give the grace and the mercy to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen.